Welcome to the Padre Island Podcast. We're still in the season of Lent, getting closer to Holy Week and Easter. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent, March 22nd, 2026, and the Gospel passage is from John chapter 11. We'll do the short version of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." He became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we bet they believed in him because he just raised a guy from the dead. I mean, wow. Can you believe that? To be part of that event and to recount it here today. We think about how through the Lord's healing is forgiveness. He saves us. He rescues us. Saying, "Come out of the darkness. Come out of that cave of sin and shame and lack of momentum and apathy. Come into the light. You have another chance. You have more time." What a gift that is. And untie him and let him go. So the Lord unties the bonds that keep us from living a full life. You know, these cloths had a purpose if he were dead, since he was dead for a while, but now they're not necessary. You can leave that behind. Be unhindered from being able to use our senses to experience the goodness of life, the beauty of the world. So what else might we say in reflection on this gospel? So this family, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they're siblings, and they're close to Jesus. It doesn't say how they met, but there is an indication in the gospel that he visited them on occasion, most likely frequently. So he got close to them. So even Jesus had friends, and not just his apostles or disciples, but these were a specific kind of disciple, because there was another passage where he would recline at table with them. There was a sense of community and building friendship and carefree timelessness. Also, we see when Jesus visits Martha and Mary, and Martha's getting overly concerned about the tasks at hand, and Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. And that passage doesn't say anything about Lazarus, the brother. What was he doing at the time? Well, I guess he wasn't there. Maybe he was running some errands or something, or at work. I don't know what he was doing. But in this case, Lazarus was ill, and then he had died, and Jesus gets there, and it's the fourth day, or it had been 4 days, so it's too late. Or at least it seems like it. You know, I think of those who've been divorced. We think about what we went through and the agony of realizing we can't change the past. And even if we wanted to do a do-over and try to reconcile, even if that were a possibility, maybe the other person wants no part in that. And so, well, that's not going to work too well if they're determined that this is the new normal, if this is the situation. And other ways that this gospel might speak to us when we have sinned, when we need to step out of that darkness, when the Lord gives us another opportunity to live in his presence. So Martha and Mary are both, in their own way, asking Jesus, or they were expressing to Jesus, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. You could have prevented this, Lord. You can heal people. And now Jesus is going to send them the message, not just in words, but in action, that it's not too late in this case. In this case, it's not too late. Because the same power that comes from Jesus to heal, he also has power to raise from the dead. We see that on Easter with his own resurrection. And we see that here. And yet Lazarus would die again. So then what's this business about those who believe in Jesus will not die, or even if we were to die, we'll live forever? Well, sometimes he uses the word die in terms of the death of our soul, in terms of eternal separation from God. And to believe in him and to follow him, to stake our life in the gospel, to receive his graces, to believe this leads to life everlasting. So even if our heart stops, life has changed, not ended, and the Lord prepares a place for us and will bring us to himself so that where he is, we also may be. That's the idea. That's the reality that we're reflecting on. So there's a connection to the afterlife in what Jesus is saying here, leading us to believe in him. He is the resurrection and the life. And he raises up his friend from the dead. So if he was going to do that anyway, why would he weep? Why would he be sad? Well, because he's fully God, fully man. And this is a sad situation. He's troubled. They said, come and see. There's reasons he cries. He weeps. I like to think he wept at other times in the Gospels too, but this is the only time it becomes really clear that it's mentioned explicitly. It's verse 35, John 11:35. So we see the humanity of our Lord, even though he would raise up Lazarus from the dead a little bit after this, but he still weeps. And he's weeping with us in our own sorrows, in our own loss. And that weeping does not compromise is strength. It may look like that. You know, you don't want your dentist who's doing an important procedure to get all weepy on you because of something in his or her personal life. You know, you want them to be strong. Do you know what you're doing? Are you confident? And somehow crying conveys a lack of strength, but it doesn't have to. There's a way that we may receive the gift of tears, and through that, through those emotions, through that cleansing of that, through that just being taken up into that experience, that's one of the things that makes life worth living. And we don't need to stay there. That leads us to a place of hope, a place of direction. So it's Jesus providing that for this family by raising up Lazarus from the dead. He didn't say give him something to eat, like he said when he said Talitha kum to that one 12-year-old girl who was probably dead, even though he said she was sleeping. Either way, she is healed. They said, give her something to eat. They didn't say that with Lazarus. Why not? Because he's an adult. He can go get it himself. But to untie him, well, some of that needs a little assistance, especially with someone who is just trying to get their bearings. Once he's untied, once they help him get these bandages off, then he's good to go. Then he can take it from there. And sometimes we do need the assistance of others to help us find healing. And when healing happens, to remove those shackles, to remove those cloths and whatever's binding us. And that's a real moment of grace when that's the message, when that's the inspiration. When someone does that for us, and when we are on the giving end of that particular action, or that category of charitable actions. So if you're in the marriage vocation, there may be an occasion where you help lead each other closer to Jesus and assure each other of the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that various events of life can help us to be strengthened in faith, to believe in the values that we hold dear in a world where so much of the stability that we want to hold on to is threatened, where we may easily get lost, where we are just trying to find our bearings, where institutions like the sacraments, the church, marriage, right and wrong, where these things are so easily discarded or somehow eroded, and that can be very dangerous. And when institutions that are important to preserve are in jeopardy, well, you and I have a job to do to help keep that going, and to do so with creativity, and to implement various possibilities if that's God's plan. And we try to our best to discern and to act, staying accountable and working with others on various things. And so with marriage, you have the opportunity to do life together, to enjoy that companionship, and to allow the tense and conflicting moments to be sanctifying opportunities. That Jesus speaks to Martha in such a way that leads her to a deeper faith, and then he prepares her for this breakthrough moment. And in marriage, there's so many everyday moments that you are with each other, and that could be an occasion to prepare him or her for incredible moments, incredible breakthroughs, incredible gifts that the Lord is about to bring to us, and the Lord has brought to us. So in Thanksgiving, we proceed closer to Holy Week, closer to Easter, knowing that Jesus not only heals those who are blind, heals the man who is blind, but now raises up from the dead a friend of his. And this dialogue that happens before this healing and during this miracle, it's worth our reflection. Going to Mass, listening to this little podcast thing, this episode, this is a way for us to deepen our faith, to open our hearts to what the Lord is about to do for us next. So let us continue to believe in the Lord Jesus, the resurrection, and the life as we increase our sense of anticipation for what's about to come. Holy Week, Easter, the rest of spring, and whatever else the Lord is bringing into our life. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Abilene, Junction City, and Chapman, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you always, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.